Welcome to the Pig Health Today podcast, where we talk all health all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Pig Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve pig health, welfare, and performance.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stocks with Pig Health Today, and we're speaking to Doug Powers, who's a swine veterinarian at Four Star Veterinary Service. Doug, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, there's been a flurry of articles about Mycoplasma hyorhinus in recent years, and we're seeing more and more cases of it. Do you think that it's a re-emerging pathogen, or is it an emerging one?
Oh, I think it's re-emerging. So it's been around for a while, and it used to cause problems, and now, again today, it's starting to cause a lot more problems. So we're seeing issues in the nursery, but then also subsequent issues as in the finishing barn with severe lameness and some even dead on arrival at the packing plants. So from the damage it caused during the growing phase.
So what kind of experiences have you been seeing with it?
Again, we've been seeing a lot of issues in the nursery. So in the past, people were thinking they would see like Haemophilus parasuis, where there'd be some fibrin adhesions on the heart. And when we start to do the investigation, it's really Mycoplasma hyorhinus causing those issues.
So what are the signs of the infection?
It depends. Early on, you could just have some lethargy, some fever, pigs not doing as well in the nursery. And then subsequently, if you follow those pigs downstream, we can start to see some more ear tip necrosis, some side sores. Then we start to see the severe lameness in the hind legs and the hocks.
So how do pigs actually contract it in the first place?
Usually comes from the sows. So it's circulating through the sows, comes in with incoming gilts, it's unstable in the sow herd. They pass it on to the pigs. The peak level of infection in the pigs is starting around 3 weeks of age, maybe five. And then it starts to go down, but then it starts to go systemic through the body and causes these other issues.
Is it a secondary infection?
Some people think it's secondary. I believe it's probably primary and can cause quite a bit of health issues on its own, especially in the high health herds.
And in terms of losses, what causes the biggest losses with the disease? Is it loss of production or mortality?
It depends on where it hits. If it hits in the nursery, it can cause quite a bit of mortality or open the door for secondary infections to then come in. The biggest loss, though, where we see the biggest production hit is when it causes the severe lameness in the finishers. So we have these absolutely perfect healthy pigs that are doing great, then all of a sudden they're lame, they're dog sitting, they can't get up, they don't go to the feed and water as much as they need to, and then they start to get that severe arthritis from the damage. And so those pigs don't make it to market as well as they should. Or if they do, then we start to see the lameness affecting them so that when we load them on the semis, we're having some downers or animals that can't make it all the way to the truck or the packing plant.
So what effect does that have in terms of economic losses?
In some flows, it can be quite devastating. So in some of the wean to finish barns, we may get to 22 weeks in the barns with 4% death loss. And then in those last 4 weeks, we may see another 4 or 5% because of the damage that occurred from the hyorhinus. So quite significant.
Are there any co-infections that tend to occur with this?
There can be. There can be the streps, the Haemophilus parasuis, the other issues that occur early in the nursery. But a lot of times it can be just by itself too. We also see, depending on if the pigs are viremic with PRRS, circovirus 2, circovirus 3, that it can make the Mycoplasma hyorhinus worse.
Okay. How do you actually test for it?
There's a couple ways. You can do PCR test. So if we see issues in the nursery, we can grab tissue samples. It can grow very well on the heart. And so we get the PCR test at that point in time. If we're just wanting to monitor a group, we can do blood test, and there is a Mycohyorhinus ELISA. So we can track the ELISA test to see if the farms are infected with hyorhinus, look at those ELISA levels to see what level of infection we think we're seeing in the herd, whether or not we need to implement either an antibiotic regime to control it or a vaccination program to try to control it.
Can it actually be present then in pigs without causing any signs of clinical disease?
Yes. And I think that's why we got to be careful just doing a PCR test. The PCR could be positive, but really not much damage going on. So if we have a positive test on a PCR, we need to do further investigation to look to see, are we finding it in tissue samples? And is there disease lesions on the histopath that would align with the Mycohyorhinus? And then we also need to go back and look into and the older pigs and the lameness. Are we finding the mycohyorrhinus in the joints? And can we prove that there's damage there as well?
And is it possible to actually eradicate it?
It's a good question. I think that's something we need to look at and see if we can eliminate it and eradicate it, starting on some flows. But we're just now getting a better understanding. And we've had the PCR test for a while. We've not had the ELISA test. So now that we have the ELISA, we can kind of look to see how broad spread it is, and then to see if we can put some programs in to try to eradicate it. I think eventually that needs to be our goal.
So once it's actually in a herd, does it linger? How does it move through the herd?
In the sows, we really don't see any clinical signs at all, but we know that the sows will pass it on to their piglets in the farrowing house. And then if they're high health status, nothing much going on, nutrition's good, it may just stay at a low level. We may not see a lot, but sometimes if our nutrition's not quite right, we're a little deficient in some vitamins and minerals, then we can start to see it take off. Or if we get a viral infection that comes in, weakens the immune system of the pigs, and then the mycohyorrhinus will really ramp up.
So is it worth testing for it even if you're not seeing any of those signs and given some of those implications?
It depends what the economic way our industry is today. Producers are not wanting to spend as much money or any money if they don't have to, just to save on cost. But if we are seeing some clinical signs and you've had some PCR positives, I think it's worth testing to see if it's in the herd and at what level.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks very much. We've been speaking to Doug Powers, who's a swine veterinarian at Four Star Veterinary Service. Doug, thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Pig Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting pighealthtoday.com/join.